All right, we're back, and our good buddy Patrick Doyle in the studio taking your calls. If you want to be a part of the conversation, you're welcome to give us a buzz. If you want to remain anonymous, we'll certainly respect that as well. The number is 776-5368 or toll-free for our listening friends in Douglas County and down in Siskiyou County. Love to have you join the conversation, and that's toll-free at 1-800-373-5368. And so we're going to talk about waiting, huh?
Yeah,
I've got time to wait.
Well, I'd like to talk about it, but we got to keep waiting.
Oh yeah.
No, you know, I want to ask a question, and you asked the listeners out there to join in. I totally would encourage that. But you know, listen, have you ever waited for God to do something?
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten really frustrated?
Yeah.
And what is the purpose, by the way, of waiting?
Well, I think it is to dissolve your will and surrender to His.
Oh, that again.
Yeah, that again.
And, you know, because I think I've talked to many people throughout the years, and one of the most difficult things that they encounter is being in a difficult situation, being hurting, being in a situation where they're obviously incapacitated to make a change, and in that process they're crying out to God, God help me, God, you know, can you fix this, can you do that, and they just keep waiting and waiting. I think of many women who may be in marriages that are difficult, where their husband is not saved, and they wait and they wait. I think of women who are in situations where their husbands are, you know, unavailable emotionally. I think of men who are in situations where they have jobs where it's driving them insane. The boss is overbearing, and the guy feels, you know, strapped. He can't really leave, but he doesn't want to be there anymore, and he's got to take care of his family, but he gets kind of abused every day. And I think of teenagers who, you know, are waiting for this thing or this relationship or that thing. Or so all of us in some way get in a position where we have to wait, and none of us, I believe, are innately very good at it. We're innately very impatient.
Yeah, why?
We want what we want.
Well, I think it's a cultural thing too. We're raised with a mouse in our hand. Click, result, click, result,
yep.
Click, result.
And it's been made worse. Absolutely,
yeah.
Perry, you're right. And you know, you talk about, you know, the 120 seconds between the time you order your food and the time you pick it up. I mean, that's a pretty remarkable thing. I mean, they got to be making that.
I call it the 28-foot syndrome.
Yeah.
It's 28 feet, roughly.
Well, I know a woman who worked. I know a woman who works in that industry as a regional manager. And she says that their time goal, from the time that you order the food to the time that you pick it up, is 120 seconds. That's their goal.
That's unbelievable.
From the time that you order your food to the time that you get it. Now, I'm thinking, they got to be making my food before I order it.
Yeah,
you know?
that'd be nice.
Exactly, you know. So,
you know, pre-cooked on Tuesday. It's been reheated.
So, you know, I know that there's a lot of cultural things, like you say, that dissipate the idea or make it difficult for us to wait. But, you know, God is not in time.
You know, this fits so well. There's the research that came out, Focus on the Family, dealt with it yesterday and a little bit today as well on the Family News and Focus.
Right.
And that is, deprogram your kids. You got them so ratched up, they need more play time.
Right.
And what it goes on to say is, you're teaching the kids to be impatient.
Mm-hmm.
They can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, I don't know of anybody, myself included. I'm probably at the front of the line. I hate waiting.
Yeah,
I like
just
getting things
in traffic.
Done. Huh?
Get in traffic for a minute.
Yeah.
What's that guy doing?
Yeah. Boy, your Christian virtues come out there, don't it?
You know, thankfully, that's not something that really gets under my skin. But, boy, I have some friends who, they can go from 0 to 100 in terms of the anger in, like, a split second on the road.
I don't understand road rage.
Uh-huh.
I really don't understand that. I mean, you know, we're all just crowded. We're going to get there sooner or later.
Right.
But I don't know. You're talking about a subject I don't know if we got a handle on because, you know, when God says wait, that could be years.
Yep. Sure could. I think of Hebrews 11, where it says, you know, by faith these folks did what they did, and it says that many of them never saw what they were waiting for, but they believed anyway, and they kept going. So God promised them something that never came to fruition in their lifetime, and yet they kept waiting.
Yeah, I read that this morning, also another version of that.
Uh-huh.
In Romans 4,
uh-huh,
against all hope, Abraham hoped.
Yeah. Well, and embedded in that is he was waiting for something.
That's right.
Right.
Everything had shut down, pretty much had gone to zero, and he considered his body being old. I mean, he was out there in years.
Right.
And about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb pretty much unfruitful. So he goes through this whole thing, and he says, against all hope, he hoped.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the only thing he had was he believed in the power of God.
That's right.
That was it. That's
right.
The only thing he had. Everything else was gone.
That's right. And ultimately, waiting really helps us focus on the fact that apart from him, there is no hope. That's one of the things that waiting does. So I was reading in Romans 8, and I wanted to read something that I think really will get to the bottom of this. So bear with me as I read here. This is Romans 8 out of the Message. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reins it in until both creation and all creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs, but it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God arousing within us. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. Tell me if you can't relate to that. This is why waiting doesn't diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us. But the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. Meanwhile, in the moment, we get tired in the waiting. God's Spirit is right alongside helping us. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of wordless sighs and our aching groans. He knows far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail of our lives of love for God is worked into something good. So waiting is a very important process of God enlarging us. And this is one of the main things that comes to into play here in my mind, is that the opposite of godliness is self-reliance. And waiting forces us to be dependent on God and not self-reliant.
Purifies your belief.
Absolutely.
Because you find out what you really believe in when things aren't going the way you want it to go.
Yeah, and the other thing here is that I believe real strongly that trouble or difficulty does not make us. It reveals us. So when trouble comes, what happens is God is revealing what's really in our heart. Not in a mean or capricious way, but in a way, in such a way to free us from our own self-reliance and our own self-centeredness. We want peace and joy and happiness. Well, those things are the result of a dependency on God, not a dependency on me, not a fact of me being in charge. So waiting is one of the things God uses to refine that self-will that we all come with. We come right out of the chute with it. We're self-willed people. We want to do it our way. And between here and the time we get to heaven, God is going to, as the Scripture calls it, sanctify us, make us more like Him. And that means we're going to have to become less and he becomes more. And waiting, I believe, is one of the most important things that God has us do, because it helps us put our trust not in our own abilities, not in our work, not in our money, not in our position in society, not in our calling, not in our church, not in our family. We put our confidence in him. And when you are confident that he can take care of you in spite of the circumstances, you will have what the scripture calls peace that passes understanding. And so, you know, I think it's something that we've not really practiced very well. And it's one of the things that I keep talking about, which is that we have to learn to wait on God. It's an important thing to learn how to do. It's an important thing to get conscious of that, you know what, I'm really impatient. I want what I want, and I want it now. God, you know what? That's a sin. I need to repent.
I tell you what's really interesting is when God's dealing with other people about waiting, and they take it out on you. Oh, you've never had that happen?
No, I've never had anybody angry at God when, and really they were talking to me like I was God, and they were angry.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, I also think of another guy named David who said these words, I waited and waited and waited for God. At last he looked. Finally he listened. He lifted me out of the ditch. He pulled me from the deep mud. He stood me upon a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. He taught me how to sing the latest God song, a praise song to our God. More and more people are seeing this, and they enter the mystery, abandoning themselves to God. So,
powerful.
Yeah, listen to what David is saying. Now, listen, remember who David was. Okay, there's no doubt that David was God's anointed leader of God's chosen people. David slew Goliath. David killed the lion. David won battle after battle. David was a great musician. David was a good king. And, you know, he had a lot at his disposal. He could have called his armies. He could have called, you know, his advisors. He could have called the prophet. He could have called, you know, whatever. But David said, I waited and I waited and I waited. And David, you know, was an important guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was God's chosen leader. No doubt about it. The scripture makes it very clear that David was the man God picked. And yet David said, I waited and I waited. And who lifted him up? His good behavior, his good church attendance, his faithful prayer, his good giving, his attendance at the right meetings. No. God, in his infinite wisdom, in the right time, lifted David out of the mud and set him on a solid rock to make sure that he wouldn't slip. And this is what I'm trying to get to. When you are in a situation where you cannot control it, and you lay yourself before God and say, God, I need you, and God delivers, what happens? You become greatly confident that God will take care of you.
Let me take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking to Patrick Doyle about waiting. So, you know, it's interesting because a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years.
Right.
So if you go to the Lord and you're praying and you ask him, then he says, well, wait a second. Oh, man.
In our news headlines, the United States is once again rejecting calls for direct talks with North Korea. U.N. Ambassador John Bolton says the U.S. won't be intimidated by a reported threat from North Korea that it could fire a nuclear-tipped missile unless Washington acts to resolve the standoff. Most families will get a break on their heating bills this winter. The government says families who heat with natural gas will enjoy the biggest break, paying an average of $119 less this winter. But those who use fuel oil will pay an average of $91 more. And the United States should enjoy a mild winter, perhaps not as warm as last year, which was the fifth warmest on record. The National Weather Service says a weak El Nino underway in the Pacific Ocean should result in fewer cold blasts. A new report indicates that Bend has the fastest growing job market in the state and a proposed casino. It's back on the list of issues in the governor's race. I'm Steve Johnson. Now you're up to date with the latest news on The Dove.
Thank you for your support of The Dove. Your help keeps us on the air. Some listeners do so through their businesses like 6th Street Bistro at 1214 Northwest 6th Street in Grants Pass, Auto Body Clinic at 844 North Riverside in Medford, and Ed's Tire Factory at 2390 North Pacific Highway in Medford. Thanks again for your support. To find out how you can be a Dove team member, go to thedove.us.
All right, we're back, and our buddy Patrick Doyle in the house. Patrick is a counselor, and the number to his office is 301-5500. He is a private counselor, and you're welcome to call and make an appointment with him anytime. 301-5500. That's 301-5500 is the number to his office. And we're talking about waiting. Waiting on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I don't know if any of us have a handle on that. I think it's a very personal thing.
Absolutely, but very necessary. Very necessary. Because, you know, when we look at things, it's obvious that God is in control. But we don't always see it that way. We're, you know, doing our best to, you know, push this way and push that way and get this to go over here and do this and do that. But ultimately, none of us have any control over that stuff. God is ultimately in control. And sometimes he just makes it plain, real plain and obvious in that he... puts you basically on your face and says, when I'm ready, I'll move. And I think that's important to know, because otherwise we get self-deceived into thinking that we have control. And that is a very painful place to be, because if you feel like you have the control, then who's going to be responsible for everything?
You know, one thing that helped me through waiting is the scripture where it says, I'll restore what the cankerworm and the locusts have eaten.
Right.
So we get caught up in waiting. That hey, all this stuff is being lost, all this time is being wasted, all this we're gonna lose all this stuff and we can't get it back. He said, no, I will not only restore it, but I will condense it so when you get it back, it'll be as if it never happened.
Mm.
I mean, only God can do that. So if you can kind of get that in your head, you can get off a human time clock and get on God's and kind of go with this thing.
Right.
You know? All right. Hi, Melissa. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Perry. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Melissa.
Hey, I appreciate what you guys are saying about waiting. It's so good, and your reading of that scripture from Romans 8,
mm-hmm.
really good. It was making me think of what C.S. Lewis calls the same old thing. Sometimes that's what it seems like to us, and I know my own tendency in the past is to not wait, and when things get rough, to just want to run or...
Mm-hmm. Start doing.
Or make a change.
Right.
Yeah,
start doing.
Mm-hmm. So that's something God's been working on me.
That's awesome, Melissa, because I'm glad you said that, because you're leading me right into my next thing I'm going to talk about.
All right. Thanks for your show.
You bet. You bet. So Melissa talks about getting ready to start doing things when you're waiting. And so I wanted to, again, read something that David wrote in the same psalm where he says, I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. He says, doing something for you, bringing something to you, that's not what you're after. Being religious, acting pious, that's not what you're asking for. You've opened my ears so I can listen. And that is what God is after. He's not after your religious activity, your piety, your goodness. None of that stuff makes a difference. The scripture says your righteousness is as filthy rags. It's irrelevant. But what is relevant is you hearing the voice of God to direct you in the way that you should go. And we all have a myriad of opinion about what should happen in our lives. We have our own agenda. And really, like I said before, the most opposite way you can be with God is self-reliant, which is pride, which is self-centeredness. And what God is wanting to do is through his voice, through his word, through his revelation of himself, is revealed to you himself. Not the plan, not the outcome, not, you know, where to put your foot or not put your foot. But most importantly, the most important thing that we will come away with waiting for with is a vision or a knowledge of who he is. The scripture says, if you see him, you will be changed. So if you want change, the best thing you can do is look for him. Don't look for the outcome. Don't look for the five-step plan. Don't look for all that stuff. Look for him. And when you see him and he speaks to you and you know that it was him, now we have something to work with. instead of opinion and conjecture. And, you know, I think about Job's three buddies that came to him, and they just started going on about what they thought was happening. And they're telling him, Job, you need to just go ahead and repent. We know you did something wrong. I mean, how could it be that you didn't? I mean, look what's happened to you. And Job was like, I haven't done anything. I'm not copping to that. No way. And in the end, God commends Job for his honesty, and he condemns Eliphaz and his two friends for not being honest with God or about him. So we all see through a glass dimly. Waiting is a very important process for us to, A, know who God is. Secondarily, know who we are. You can't know who you are until you first know who he is. That's what clarifies your perspective on the entire world, when you see through things through his eyes. And I'm telling you, it is so rapid that we move from him to ourselves. In a split second, I can have fellowship with God 1 second and then turn my head and be somewhere else. It can happen so quickly, it's mind-boggling. And so it brings me to my other thing. Waiting does not fit in with our schedules. God's timing is not convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus repeatedly say, come away with me. Come on, we got to get out of here.
Come apart before you come apart.
Right. And, you know, but we say that all the time, but I want to ask the audience, how many of you are doing it? How many of you are getting away in some part of your day to a quiet place where your phone is off, the TV is off, the radio is off, the door is shut, the distractions are gone, and you can really focus and get through all of that static in your mind about the 47,000 things you have to do and the 40 responsibilities that are yours and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All that stuff, it takes a little bit of time to get through. And what I've seen in my career is that people start to go there and all that stuff happens and they give up. Well, I just can't ever get there. My mind just won't let me go there. And I'm saying persevere. Keep going there. Keep going there, because it's something you have to learn. It's not something that comes naturally to us. It is so unnatural for us as humans to wait. It's not natural to us. So we have to learn it. Just like learning to hear God's voice is a process. It's not an event. So a regular schedule of time away with God. Sometimes it might mean you to go away for that 24-hour period by yourself to a quiet place. And I'm telling you, every believer should be doing that on a regular basis. Because there's no substitute for intimacy, time alone, carving out your life, stopping the rush and the flow of everything for one reason, and that is to hear, like David said, you've opened my ears so I can listen. That is the most important thing that could happen to you.
You ever talk to somebody on the phone and you hear a little blip, blip, blip in the back, you know they're getting another call,
mm-hmm.
and they say, just a minute?
Yeah.
And they take that?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what we do with God all the time?
Mm. Well, first of all,
like it when it happens?
I don't.
Okay.
But, you know, I also understand it. I mean, it's our modern world. It's what happens.
But why can't you just let it go?
I would, agreed.
Why just let it go? I mean, you're talking to God. Why in the world would you interrupt?
Exactly. Well, when you say, isn't that like it is with God? And I would say this. My first question is, are you really on the phone with him?
Well, yeah.
Because I think a lot of times we think we are. And what we're doing is we got our agenda we're rolling out. So God, you know, prayer in my estimation and waiting and prayer to me are very connected. Waiting and prayer are very connected, because here's why. Prayer to me, it's in its most effective form, is not me telling God anything. God already knows. He knows everything I've thought, everything I need. He is completely aware of all of my needs. It is not a mystery to him. What mostly I need is to hear from him. Yeah, I'm a crazy man in my head. I got all these things I need to do and all this stuff I need answers to, and what about this and what about that. And I do need to go to God and take that to him in a very honest way. God commands us, bring your cares and your concerns, petitions to me. He's telling us to do that. So we need to bring it to him. But the important part of that process is not us telling him, because he's not up there going, oh, good. Oh, thanks for the info. Oh, God, I'll get right on that. Mm-hmm. He's not doing that. He's like, yeah. I know. Now, wait. I want to say something to you. And when God begins to speak to you and etch himself into the lining of your heart like he said he would, when he does that etching, everything changes, because now you have assurance, you have a solidity, you have a confidence that can't come any other way. It is supernatural, it is spiritual, and it is done by God. And that is the process by which God lifts you out of the mud and sets you on a solid rock. The solid rock is what? Himself. Mm-hmm. He's investing, he's imparting, he's etching himself into the lining of your heart. And this is the most important process we can be involved in, because as he etches himself into us, we become mature and solid believers. And that creates salt and light. And that has an impact on our family. And that has an impact on our culture. And that has an impact on our church. And what I see today is a lot of Christianity that is very shallow. And it's because it doesn't have an intimate knowledge of who he is, a deep confidence. And I am here to encourage folks, it's not rocket science. It's not out of your reach. You're not incapable. It's not just for the pastor. No, it's for every single one of us. And if you look into the scripture, you'll find example after example after example of God speaking to people and using them to alter the course of history. He can do that with you. He can do that with me. And I want to encourage folks to not be afraid. Look, oh, you don't know, Pat, I'm a pretty sinful guy. You know, you just don't understand. Well, you know, I do. I'm a pretty sinful guy. I mean, I if you want to compare sins, I might come out on top. Mm. Yet, God said that my position with him was based on his mercy and his grace, not my goodness. So, I'm okay. The blood covers me. The blood covers you. Go into the presence of God. Hebrews 10 says you can, with confidence and boldly, walk into the presence of God and there find your help in a time of need. It is important to go into that place. And I want to encourage folks, don't hesitate. And if God convicts you, hallelujah. If God encourages you, good. But you will walk away from that place differently. And if you need to wrestle, go right ahead. Don't be afraid of being totally honest with God. Wrestle around with him. He's not afraid of it, and he can handle it. And more importantly, you will come away with something you can't get anywhere else. So don't hesitate. Make it today. Do it today. Carve out 10, 15, 20 minutes today. Start today. And then make plans to go for a 24-hour period. And I promise you, if you see God, you will be changed.
Patrick Doyle, counselor, and his office number is 301-5500. That's 301-5500. You're welcome to call him, make an appointment. Does all kinds of counseling, and probably if there's an area of expertise, it's in addictions.
Yeah, well, addictions, trauma, family stuff, it all gets put together. Hmm. You bring it, we'll talk about it.
Okay. All right, thank you, man. I'll see you next time.
All right.